pay program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another live episode of Superhuman Radio. This is a very important show, one of the most popular shows that I've ever done that continues to be a popular show on the homepage. And I think it's the top six or eight most popular shows that get downloaded and listened to most often arrive on the bottom right-hand corner of the homepage. And one of those is actually the prequel to the show that we're doing today. And it was Raw Food is as Effective as Anabolic Steroids in Building Muscle. On that particular show, I had Randy Roach and Josh Trentin come on the show and talk about Josh's experience with integrating raw foods into his diet. And back, we have a technical problem here. Hold on a second. I'm going to play a song real quick. Sit tight. I'm just going to play the song that we were playing a second ago, and I'll be right back. Okay, I think we have the problem solved now. Randy, are you there?
Yeah.
Josh, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So anyway, I was doing a little bit of an intro work. I was talking about the very first show we did about raw food, and was explaining to the audience that this is by far one of the most popular shows I've ever done. It continues to get downloads. It has influenced more people. I know for a fact that a female figure competitor, Catherine Ramirez, started eating raw foods after hearing this show that we did originally and told me that her transformation was amazing. She continued, and she was eating raw chicken, by the way, Randy. She's very, very brave girl. But we want to do a follow-up, because back then when we did the original show, Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but in a five-month period of eating raw, and we're talking about raw meats, raw everything, you gained an average of 25 pounds of lean body mass in 5 months.
Yeah, I don't remember when that first show was, but when I wasn't eating raw, I was in the 190s, and whenever we talked, I must have been at least, I don't know if I was 220 by then, but I've this winter hit 239.
So you're up at 239 now.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of that's muscle, but I don't look like I've gained a bunch of fat, and that's, for a guy 40 years old, that's a pretty good jump.
I didn't know you were 40. That's impressive. Now tell me something. Can you see your abs?
I can still see them. The only place I've gained fat is around the kind of the love handles on the sides, but the abs still show, and I can prove it with pictures.
Are there pictures? Because you have a Facebook, and you've got some great pictures of you up there. By the way, do you know with that little face hair, you kind of look like Steve Reeves a little bit.
I've got that a few times.
Yeah, you really do. There's one picture of you that kind of is reminiscent of when he did the Hercules movies.
I'll take that. That's awesome.
Okay. Anyway, so
he played an awesome joke on his girlfriend.
Oh yeah. Now, Randy, have you continued to work with Josh on his diet?
Oh, he does his own thing, and he asks me what I'm doing. I tell him what I'm doing, and we're always communicating about what we're doing with the diet, and I'm always bugging him about equipment and stuff like that. So it's an ongoing communication, and he's always interested in what I'm doing, and I'm always asking if he's still gaining or he's detoxing or whatever. So it's an ongoing dialogue.
Josh, have you consistently gained weight on this diet?
It's been pretty steady, surprisingly. I mean, it kind of happens in spurts, and I seem to gain more in the fall and the winter time, and it's harder for me to hold my weight in the summer as high, but it's been really, really shockingly consistent. And I'm a pretty small frame guy. If anybody looks at my pictures on Facebook, I have little joints. I have a more frail frame, so I really never saw myself much over 200. So this is pretty surprising.
How tall are you, Josh?
5'11".
Okay. All right, so what... Now, when we talked originally, were you eating raw chicken at that point in time?
I had tried it, but not consistently. I've eaten quite a bit of it since then.
Okay, so you have integrated raw chicken into the diet. I think that's the one that people have the most problem with. I mean, I'm a big proponent of raw beef, probably because of the texture of it and so on. Tell me about the challenges of integrating raw chicken into the diet. Were you afraid originally because you still believed the whole salmonella thing?
Oh, certainly in the beginning. That wouldn't have been the first thing I would go to because of those fears. Over time, as you've eaten, you know, beef heart, as you've eaten liver, you become a lot less squeamish. And to me, the chicken's no different than anything else now. I've eaten very large quantities at one time. I've never had any adverse, never any food poisoning or anything of that nature.
Randy, do me a favor. Let's reiterate one of the very first interviews you and I did early in 2006, I want to say. When we first talked about raw food, back then everybody thought I was crazy. We were talking about raw food, and now more and more people are starting to embrace it. But tell the story about the chicken breast that ended up out all night from the refrigerator.
Yeah, I had eaten it several times. It took me, like everybody else, I was afraid of it at first, and it took me about a year of eating raw beef before I thought I'd eat raw chicken, and I was surprised first that it tasted pretty good. I would cut it in half. I'd eat small amounts, so I'd cut it in half, and then while I was cubing and eating the other one, I'd let the other piece sit on the counter. And because I couldn't see, I could forget about it, and then I'd come back an hour or two later and find it, and I wasn't going to eat it. I was going to throw it out. You know, I was still afraid of it. And finally, I let the piece out. It must have been for at least 8 hours in the summer, because when I touched it, it wasn't slimy anymore. I could tap it. You know,
yeah,
like
right.
Summer, you tap right. it. And I got to the point where I'm tired of throwing this out. You know, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of food, right? Just out of fear. I said, what the hell, right? Just eat it. And even with a little bit of psychosomatic or whatever paranoia, it was nothing. It did nothing to me the next day. So it's happened to me again, and I just have no problem. So even when I got to the point when I knew I swallowed a raw egg, excuse me, that I knew it was bad, the raw egg was bad. I thought, geez, I go throw this up. And I kept thinking about it, and I got a little bit of a stomach ache, but I didn't know if I brought that on. But that was it.
How did you know it was bad? It had that sulfur smell?
Oh, God, it tasted awful. Yeah. I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. So I did it again, but this time I caught it in time. But I thought, no, I just swallowed it down. It tasted terrible, but I got nothing because it didn't do anything to me.
So in summary, that chicken breast sat out all night long.
No, it was all day.
Okay.
It was right in the summer. It was during the day. I started in the morning, and I came back 8 hours or so later in the day, and it was there. So I just cut up and ate it. And since then, that's nothing compared to what Ogdenis does. And
what he calls he calls it high meat or something like that?
Yeah, my friend Andrea did that. She did 3 months. And
how is she doing, by the way? She was fighting cancer, wasn't she?
No, she succumbed back in November.
Is that who? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she is a good girl. She is young, 37. It's very tough to beat it at that age,
yeah.
right? Because just the condition of that being at that young.
Yeah.
But again, we had to go outside because it would stink so bad. But it didn't do, like, she didn't get sick from that.
Josh, are you eating a lot of organ meat, by the way?
Not a lot. It's harder to get unless I go to the farm. But I'll eat a big piece of raw liver, and I'll eat heart when I can get it.
What about wild game, like venison and stuff like that?
I've never had it. Randy, have you had it?
No, I had it years ago when I cooked at game dinners and stuff, but I've not had it raw lately. Other than, no, not wild game, no.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about how your diet has transformed, Josh, and what you're noticing compared to when you were training before you started eating raw. We're talking today with Randy Roach and Joshua Trentini. If you want to learn more about how raw food builds muscle, these guys have set up a website just for you out there who are interested in this. It's called rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler, and now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at Iron IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to mention that Orbit Nutrition is having a blowout sale on PES's Anabeta. It's on sale for $29.99 a bottle. That sale will go for 5 days only. It will end Saturday night at midnight. Don't miss it. Also, if you have requested a sample from Kodiak Cream, their product is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. I'm sorry, it has no NSAIDs in it, and it is all natural, and it relieves pain on contact. The stuff is amazing. They got 22,090 sample requests from my listeners. They are obviously overwhelmed, doing the best they can to get the samples out to you, so please be patient on that. Could you imagine that, Randy? 22,090 samples in under a month.
Well, I wouldn't mind that many requests for my book.
And we're going to talk about your book a little bit later in the show because we want to talk about where Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors is. I had an opportunity to see what may be the new cover. Very, very impressive. Okay, so Josh, tell me how you're eating now, and let's compare that to how you were eating when you did the show last time.
I think when we last time, I probably wasn't up to the quantities of food. I think my body was still adjusting. I think if I ate too much back then, I'd slip into a detox. Like, for instance, before, I could only consume, I think, 6 to 12 eggs a day. Anything more than that was pushing it. And I've had days where I've hit, where I'm busy at work, and I just keep popping them every hour, and I've consumed, 30 eggs in a day with no runs to the toilet or anything like that.
Wow, so that's impressive.
My body's adjusting upwards. It's assimilating even better. Red meat a day, I could consume 3 pounds in a day, no problem.
How much chicken are you eating right now?
I've eaten as much as a pound and a half, 2 pounds in one sitting, but I probably eat it once every couple weeks. I don't have the taste for it like I do the red meat.
Are you marinating it in in lemon or anything like that's what Catherine Ramirez was doing. She was almost making a ceviche out of it, Randy.
Oh, I just eat mine plain.
How about you, Josh? Are you just eating it plain?
Most of the time, plain. I do like it mixed up with pineapple. It's really good.
Just for the flavor or for the digestive enzymes?
Probably both. If you leave it on the counter too long with the pineapple, and I usually do, I let my meat warm up, that it'll start to kind of pre-digest itself.
Yeah.
But I like the flavor.
Well, let's go ahead and hit this other thing head on real quick. Lane Norton, who is a natural bodybuilder, strength athlete, wonderful guy, really, really wonderful guy. He is now Dr. Lane Norton because he has his PhD. Made a comment during a Body RX show with Dr. Scott Connolly, which I am one of the co-hosts of, when I was talking about eating raw during, I don't know if it was a Hard Gainer show or a Paleo show we were doing. And I actually invoked your name, Josh. Did you hear the show?
No, I never heard it.
I said Joshua Trentin is a natural bodybuilder. He started eating raw and in 5 months put on 25 pounds. And Lane quipped and said, for the couple extra pounds, I think I'll avoid eating raw. But he meant not that it's useless, just that the palatability of eating raw. But then I asked questions about raw food, and Lane's position was that cooking is better for meats, especially, because this whole notion of denaturing protein, he and I'm paraphrasing Lane, so if you hear the show, I'll be glad to have you on to correct me. The whole premise of denaturing protein occurs anyway. Once you swallow raw meat, this digestive acids start to denature the protein or unfold the proteins. So why not just do it in the frying pan and give it a head start? What do you think about that?
Well, first let me say, I mean, that's contrary to my experiences. I got, 2.5 years under my belt and Randy 10, and, pound for pound what I'm consuming, I'm seeing more gains. So empirically, things are going better here. But, I mean, let's push it out to its logical extension. As we cook food, or as we overcook it, or as we burn it, we denature it. It becomes less bioavailable, correct? I mean, so.
Well, that's the premise of raw food eaters. But Lane is saying, hey, it becomes denatured in the stomach anyway. It's the same process.
It's a different environment. You can't compare a frying pan and whether you're cooking with heated oils and an acidic environment in the stomach. We're talking heat. Like, I mean, when you take an egg, it's liquid at room temperature, but when you put it in a frying pan and cook it with heat, it coagulates. It's a different, you got a solid.
Right.
That's
and we also know that heat increases AGEs in meat when you cook it, which, you know, advanced glycation end products, which we know now that when we consume these things, they have the same deleterious effect as if we're full-blown diabetic and we're developing them on our own.
I mean, there's all sorts of it. We know for a fact that vitamins are reduced. The mineral states are altered when we use heat. So, I mean, to compare it in the stomach's environment, which is totally different. I guess it's a different argument altogether about the ecology of the stomach and the microorganisms. That's the huge thing that's lost in our culture today, is that we don't even talk about the ecosystem in there and what raw food, how it comes into the stomach different than when it's cooked. And the heat kills the coliforms and many of the microorganisms in the meats that you take in. It's a totally different approach. Like, obviously, people can eat cooked meat. They have been doing it for a long time.
Right.
But look at our culture. Josh and I were just talking the other day, and you're lucky, you know, until you get in your 80s. But if you're surviving your 80s, Josh was telling me a good story about when he was doing a residency, because he's a good physiotherapy background. Josh, why don't you tell that story? It just sums up our culture in terms of...
Go ahead, Josh.
Just kind of talking about, you know, what our culture considers acceptable and how we age. One of my internships that I did for a physical therapy practice was in a nursing home. And this time of year, when it's nice out, all of the patients, or all the ones that were capable of leaving bed, are rolled out in a wheelchair and set outside. They're just kind of, you know, set out there to bake. And if you're across the parking lot and you look over at these people, every single one of them has their head down, not because they're sleeping, but they don't even have the muscular strength to support their head, to support
right,
their weight.
To hold
I'm
their
not
head
suggesting
up.
If these people ate raw food that they'd necessarily, you know, be brought back to life, but the degeneration that we see with aging and using our conventional paradigms and feeding these people the way they do in these settings, people aren't aging gracefully. There's severe degeneration with the typical American diet, and there's other cultures that don't think twice about eating a less processed food, Japanese, Korean, Spanish. There's some kind of cultural precedence for eating a less processed and better food supply. We don't age gracefully on degenerative diets.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. But getting back to the whole premise, you know, I've eaten raw meat and actually started eating it very young. And I've told this story before, that when my mom used to make meatballs, my father and I would steal the raw beef and eat it. And my father actually did this in his late 80s, the year before he died. He was going into the refrigerator and eating the raw chopped meat. My mother used to get so angry, and we thought it was because he was becoming senile. But in retrospect, I think he intuitively knew that was better for him than some of the other stuff that was promoting his diseases. But when I eat a pound of raw chopped meat, I notice that I digest it very, very quickly. And when I eat a pound of cooked chopped meat, it takes a long time for it to exit my stomach. Is this not anecdotal evidence that raw meat is more suitable to eat than cooked?
I notice the same thing. If cooked meat just lands very heavy in my stomach, where raw meat, I don't even feel it in my stomach. I don't even know how to know it's there. And, I mean, I could eat again an hour later very easily, where with cooked meat, it's a totally different feel to it. Like, yeah, I'm not opening up my stomach to see what's there, but I mean, I know. You know when something, your stomach's empty and you're hungry again, right? And when you're full and you just don't feel like eating again.
Right.
There's a big difference in I don't know how you can make an argument for it cooked. I mean, the onus, like Josh and I were talking, is not on us to prove the raw is better. You got to prove that cooking is better, because I mean, from a historical perspective, we weren't cooking in nature. The animals aren't cooking, and I think Francis Pottinger clearly showed this with his cats, and where their foods were the same. The only difference were that they were cooked. And everything that we see for degenerative disease, including sterility in our culture, is what he produced with those cats. simply by processing and cooking the food.
That was, and when you look at the pictures of those cats, and also the litters of those cats were healthier. There was more homogeneity. They all had the same markings. I mean, you didn't have litter runts. I mean, it's just...
They weren't comparable. Like one of my former suppliers, a farmer, Michael Schmidt, he's been in the news up here a lot in the past couple of years because he got raided at gunpoint. He actually sacrificed two of his calves, where he took two calves and fed the one raw milk and the other one pasteurized, and right to the point where they performed autopsies, and it was pathetic.
And he found the same results that Pondra found.
Very similar, yeah. The organs were, everything was just totally different. It was degenerative, and the animal was very sick, sick. So, I mean, just by adding heat.
Okay, so let's get back to you for a second, Josh. If somebody's listening to this show for the first time, they should go back and listen to the original show. Raw food as effective as anabolic steroids in building muscle. You obviously have continued to progress. Are you counting, are you keeping track of how much protein you're eating like the traditional bodybuilder would, or I've got to get 300 grams of protein, or is the protein more efficient and you can actually eat less?
No, I'm sure I consume way more because I eat so much animal-based products. When I was competing, my protein could go anywhere from 225 grams to as high as 300 grams per day, and I know every day I'm higher than that 300 now. I'm not tracking, I'm going to compete next year in the Mr. Universe, and I'll track leading up to that point. I think that'll be an interesting progression to show, but I always get more than 300 grams of protein on the raw food diet.
What will you do differently to cut on a raw food diet? Will you eliminate anything?
I think it's the same as you would on any paradigm. I think you have to create enough calorie deficit. But I think the model is going to stay pretty close. I think it's just pulling back on the calories.
Are you drinking raw milk?
Absolutely, yeah.
How many gallons a week?
At most six or seven.
Yeah, I know. It's good stuff. Okay, let's do this. I want to take a commercial break. Randy, when we come back, I want you to speak to Dr. Lauren Cordain's assertion. Dr. Cordain has a penchant against raw milk of any type. And... you got an email from one of my listeners, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to address that when we come back. We're talking with Randy Roach and Joshua Trentini. Josh is a natural bodybuilder, uses no drugs. He uses raw food to build muscle. They have set up a website for those of you who are interested in learning more about the competitive advantages of eating raw food. It's called rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Go check it out. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that AgeForce now has 2 products they're offering my listeners. Testo 100, which is a transdermal time-released patch to raise testosterone levels, and the Power Patch, which actually incorporates 25 milligrams of real HGH, not HGH secretagogue, 25 milligrams of real somatropin into a patch, time released. Go to superhumanradio.com and check out the coupon code. You can save 50%, 50% off your first order. My guests, Randy Roach and Joshua Trentini, and we're talking about raw food, continues to be an advantage for Josh, who is a natural bodybuilder. Before I turn to Randy, I had a thought during the break, Josh. Do you think that raw food could ever truly be as effective? I mean, when I'm talking about truly, I mean, do you think you could build a 300-pound bodybuilder over the course of a decade, which is what it takes for a drug-using professional athlete to do it? Do you think you can build a behemoth like that on raw food?
I've thought about that. I mean, 300 pounds seems pretty extreme, but I'd like to take, like, one of these extreme responders. Like, remember when Kai Greene used to be natural, and he was 5'8", 235 natural?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was on a high-carb, low-fat diet. I'd like to take a guy like that. I think take a guy, Kai Greene, 235 natural on the old diet paradigm, put him on the raw food paradigm, and you got to put 30, 40 pounds on him. So pretty close, you know, with a hyper-responder. I think it's comparable in some ways, and I think you get more duration out of it. I think these guys that use real, real high doses of steroids, and they start in their 20s, I think they're going to start to burn out by the time they're my age. I think whatever you do put on, you can sustain longer.
I was just going to say it. It would be sustainable this way, in my opinion.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Randy, Dr. Lauren Cordain, great guy. He's one of the early proponents of the Paleolithic diet, but he has a strong aversion to dairy, especially milk, even raw unpasteurized milk. On one of my shows recently, he said that raw unpasteurized milk or pasteurized milk, it doesn't matter, is loaded with galactose and causes cataracts and no one should drink milk. He says milk is terrible for you, should not drink milk. You got an email from one of my listeners. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, either one of your listeners, also one of my clients. Before I talk about that, can I just add one little thing about your last question to Josh?
Yeah, sure.
A guy like Kai Greene, Josh is right. He's probably going to put on a lot more muscle mass, but to walk out on stage like the way these guys do, no, you can't do that without get that final touch of almost zero body fat. You're bloated up with insulin and cake mix or whatever they're using, IGF-1. Growth hormone, you know, these guys are getting into that realm where, you know, raw foods aren't. Josh and I have both stated that before, that we're not claiming that this way is better than steroids. Like, I mean, and like I said, steroids are just one component that these guys are using today. The drug arsenal that they're using, there's no way a natural guy with raw foods could attain a Mr. Olympia type status on contest day, but he could be a lot bigger
than the average natural guy.
the average natural guy, and possibly even some poor eating steroid users.
Right. Maybe that non-responders and so on, right?
Yeah, regarding Dr. Lauren Cordain, yeah, he really tore raw milk and the sphincter, didn't he? I was listening.
You know what? Before I let you speak, you know who else tore raw milk a new sphincter back in the day? Bill Phillips and Dr. Scott Connolly. And meanwhile, now Dr. Scott Connolly embraces milk proteins as everything that you need. And so lots of people kick milk in the ass and then come back around. But yeah, Cordain is
Scott Connolly's changed his opinion totally.
Right.
I've seen his response to raw milk, and he's very favorable towards raw milk.
Yeah.
And reducing disease. I seen it in his own words. So, yeah, well, Bill Phillips, I don't care really what he has to say about anything. He was putting out products with aspartame, hydrogenated oils back in the 1990s, so I rest my case with that. I don't know where Lauren's coming from. Again, this is academia that works from a certain paradigm. What they say, it just flies in the face of history. And cataracts with galactose, that was just one aspect. Now, again, I agree with him. I'm not going to defend the milk industry, artificially inseminating
right.
cows, giving them hormones to put them in heat, RBST, RBGH, it was the same thing,
right.
recombinant bovine, somatotrophin to make them give more milk. You know, those type of cows, they only live 3.5 years.
Right.
But, I mean, to say that, you know, they were actually invoking diabetes, and that's the stuff I thought, come on. I mean, guys, they used to use raw milk to correct type 1 diabetes.
I was just
going to
say, I just played that show last week when I was out of town getting my mom set up for this nursing home. I played the raw milk with you and Dr. Schmidt. And Dr. Schmidt said on that show that raw milk was the only thing that kept real diabetics alive back in the day because it has insulin in it, number one. But number two, he was curing diabetes with raw milk. He would take a person who had full-blown type 2 diabetes and put them on nothing but milk.
Yeah, Bonderplan has corrected his type 1 juvenile diabetes with it. That's what he claims. These things, I was looking, going back to who Price studied, the cultures, the Samburu, the Massey, the Swiss Alpiners, there wasn't any of this. They had no disease at all. McCarrison, same with the Hunza. Now, McCarrison had noted some cataracts in the very, very elderly. Now, remember, the Hunza were allegedly living to be 120 to 140 years old.
Right.
So he said he didn't attribute it to the diet, and it could have had been some contribution to it, but he attributed it to the poor ventilation in their homes through the winter because he said the elder had some eyelid issues, but that was just in some of the very, very old. But other than that, these people were extremely healthy,
right.
And there was no plague.
Well, you know what? Also, cataracts, I understand what cataracts is because I was actually on track to become an optometrist. And cataracts is a drying out of the crystalline lens until there's an opacity. The pre-advanced form of cataracts is known as presbyopia, which we all get after 40 years old where we need reading glasses. The crystalline lens is avascular, and it gets all of its nutrients through the vitreous and aqueous humor that bathe it like a gelatin. The blood vessels in the sclera bring nutrients into this gelatin, and then the nutrients have to pass through the gelatin and get to the lens. Over time, everyone's lens dries out because of exposure to ultraviolet light, more so than anything else, because there is nothing there to keep it youthful. There's nothing taking debris out and adding new cells in. It's really like a hard piece of cartilage, and over time it dries out. When it dries out to the point that you develop a cataract, what happens is you have an opacity. It's no longer transparent. It's now translucent. And if you live long enough, everybody develops some form of a cataract. Everybody.
Well, in our culture they do, but not in all cultures they don't. It's not a natural thing that's supposed to happen. It just happens when there's been compromise in the way that the culture lives. But, I mean, according to with McCarrison, those Hunza, they had to get up to over 100 years old before and live in those conditions where he blamed it on the very, very dry condition of their homes through the winter months.
Yeah.
And stuff. But, again, this argument can also extend. Like I said, the Maasai Simber, all the cultures that drink raw dairy had none of these issues. But another thing that's cropping up today is the argument of A1 and A2 cows. I don't know if you're familiar
with
that.
Yeah, I did a whole show on them. I did a show on why Jerseys are better. We did.
Well, Jerseys aren't necessarily the best for A2. The A2s are, the old heritage and traditional cows, the Canadian and the Shorthorn, Brown Swiss. Holsteins are a newer breed, and some of the Jerseys have been compromised. They're supposed to have A1. But, again, there's still a lot of controversy and debate over this issue of the beta-casein having that on the, the 67th amino acid has been mutated from proline to histidine, and which means it doesn't hold on to this other compound called BCM7. Now, that apparently is supposed to break off and get into the milk and the bloodstream. But again, I asked the question, I've had both, I've drank both at the same time because I had two suppliers at one time, and one had Holsteins, pure Holsteins at that time, and the other one was the Canadian, I think it's how it's pronounced, the cow. And I would go months at a time on either one, and I did not notice any difference for me personally. I'm not saying that there isn't anything to this. I'm just saying I personally didn't notice.
Well, but I also think you'd have to, in all fairness, I think that you would have to do inflammatory marker tests to see if there's any changes in.
Well, you listen to some of what these guys are claiming they're doing. They're claiming to involve insulin insensitivity in 2 weeks. And all these inflammatory reactions that are very noticeable, where I didn't notice that. Now, also, I asked the same question. When you take the Holstein cows, which are primarily the cows used in milking today, they might only live 3.5 years. Because the hormones that are given and the way they're raised and such. But you take a Holstein and put it in a natural environment and treat it properly, and even drinking its own mother's milk, which it has the A1 milk, he'll live 15 years. He'll live normal without any issues. So why isn't the milk bothering the cow? If this is a negative mutation, the cows just seem to live fine without any issues. So I think we're going to have to see more. I'm just saying that there's more to that. They might be A1 cows. I don't know what Lauren Cordain, what studies he was looking at.
They're saying all milk. They're saying, as a matter of fact, he went to a seminar invitational seminar about getting people to stop drinking milk, and he was talking about how these guys were all like, milk is bad for you. I don't buy it, and you know what, I let him come on the show, and there's some people who may agree with him and some people who don't. I think it comes down to this, and I've always said this, I think that you got to look at your ancestral diet. If your genome evolved hundreds of years ago in a part of the world where dairy cows were used and milk was used, and chances are you can drink milk, and you probably have the enzyme to handle lactose like I do. I can drink milk all day long, no problem, no gas, nothing. Now, there are other people who their genetics evolved under conditions where there was no milk, and those people probably shouldn't drink milk. I think it comes down to ancestral. I really, really do.
There's not enough time, though, Carl. I think the argument there is that you need a lot more than some thousands of years. The argument is we domesticated cattle about 10,000 years ago. And some will even claim, PhDs, that we somehow mutated the gene that we could digest it, which I think is a fairy tale in its way. But thousands of years is not enough for the genome to adapt, according to what the different argument in genetics. So there's, again, we're guessing at a lot of these things. But you're right in the sense that if you can handle it, if you're clearly getting in distress eating something, then don't eat it. But to come out and say, again, if anything at a world level, like a world consensus, it's politics now, and there's an agenda there. And I wouldn't trust what they're saying at all, because they don't want us drinking milk. They're still putting us into agrarian.
Well, you know what's really funny? I watched the royal wedding, and your name came up, Randy. You know why? Elisa and I were watching the royal wedding recently, Josh. Yeah. And Elisa goes, my God, the king and queen. I don't know, the Queen Mother and King Philip or whatever his name is, he's in his 90s. The guy looks like he's maybe in his 60s. And Elisa goes, we need to get them on the show to find out what they're doing, because clearly they're doing something to reverse aging. I said, well, you know what Randy told me a long time ago? The royal family have their own cows. They drink nothing but raw, unpasteurized milk.
They're into organic farming, and they drink raw milk. That's right.
So you know what? They're eating the right foods. That's what you can look like when you eat the right foods. Now, the rest of us peasants, you know, let us eat cake peasants. We get the crap. That's what we get. But the royal family gets the good stuff.
That's right. And you got to remember that whoever conducts these world summits and meetings who denounce milk, they're the ones who are behind the scenes, who are making it almost impossible for people to get raw milk. That they have a big influence on the legislation from Canada, United States, that try to make us out like idiots and criminals because we want to get whole fresh milk. But they want us to drink the pasteurized, homogenized garbage that's raised with drug-filled cows, right?
Right. And by the way, I spoke to my farmer, and I asked him if he uses anything with his cows to cause them to, he doesn't do anything. He says his cows get pregnant every year. Yeah. And he said they'll give milk for a good 6 months after they're pregnant. They'll continue to give milk.
Yeah, our farmers, they don't use that as well. Like I said, Lauren's correct when he's dealing with the commercial industry, and I don't support them in any way. I'd avoid that like the plague, but when to get in the raw milk, properly raised cows, properly fed, it's just historically unprecedented what he's saying. It's just not, I don't care what studies they're doing. I used to run to those studies 20, 30 years ago. I don't think I even bothered with any of them for the past 10 years because they're so politically polluted. Again, I put up a fair amount, much more stock in what McCarrison was doing 80 years ago, Price and Pottinger. No, they weren't absolutely research scientists, but there was far less political toxicity in what they were doing as what's going on today. Those guys were really looking for some truth, and yeah, they weren't doing double blinds, but that's what they do today. They say if you don't have peer-reviewed double-blind studies, then your data doesn't get in the journal.
Well, I don't look at studies exclusively any longer. I've learned. You know, we've actually done shows about the fact that studies are skewed. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Randy Roach and Joshua Trentini. I have more questions for Josh also about his diet, so we can elucidate for those of you out there who want to learn more about eating raw. We're going to cover some more of that stuff. And also, you can go to their website, rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Easy to remember. Right to the point. We'll be right back. Want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, drops, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
It was a moonlit night in old Mexico. I walked alone between some old adobe haciendas. Suddenly, I heard the plaintive cry of a young mexican.
What I'm feeling.
Welcome back. The ocean sounds so inviting right now. I need a vacation, a real vacation. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You want to learn more about eating raw food to get the competitive edge? Go to rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Josh, if someone is listening to this show for the first time and they didn't catch the first episode we did, how can somebody start out integrating raw food into their diet? What would you recommend for a newbie to start doing first?
The people I've talked to and the bodybuilders I've helped, it seems like eggs are the easiest place to start.
Yeah. And we're all willing to do that because of Rocky.
You know, I think a lot of people have tried it. Randy has a smoothie that he recommends for some people. We'll put that up on the site. And people can check out a real easy smoothie to start with. But that's the easiest place, and they digest it darn quick. And some people, at least I, experience a real energy boost. When I first pop them in the morning, it's noticeable.
You think it's the choline, Randy?
The eggs? No, I'd be guessing.
Okay.
It's so non-disruptive. It's one thing, raw eggs, like you want to... I wouldn't do 4 to 6 at a time raw like that, because it'll sit a little heavier, but... 1 or 2 is very, very non-disruptive, so nothing is interfered with, but there's still some sustenance in you, and I find that seems to make me start vibrating a little higher. Hey, Boyer Coe just signed up on our website today, so.
Really?
Yeah, Boyer's a good guy. He's just really supportive. He was actually, it's kind of ironic, because I just wrote down a couple of weeks ago, He back in 1979, one of his books, now Boyer's not necessarily a raw meat eater, but he was writing that raw meat was being eaten by science. It was about easily digested.
Right.
So they felt the same way back in 30 years ago, at least in some of the bodybuilding ranks. Well, we know that.
And I'm gonna go back to you in a minute. I want to talk about some of the early guys in bodybuilding that went to raw. But okay, so Josh, so you start out with raw eggs, maybe what, a couple in the morning, a couple in the afternoon, just slowly that way?
Yeah, I always start with 2 in the morning. Some people might want to take them with, if they tolerate raw dairy well, some raw cheese. It, you know, kind of slows down the absorption if they're trying to get more out of that meal. And I also pop them before any leaner meats. So if I was going to eat some, you know, a real easy place for people to start is with some sashimi. You know, they might eat some raw tuna or salmon.
I love sashimi. That's my, I mean, you know what? I've totally gotten off of sushi because of all the rice. I just don't want all the carbs. And I just devour sashimi. I love sashimi.
It's really non-threatening. But before my girlfriend and I, if we go out to the Japanese restaurant, I always pop a few eggs before I go, because that lean meat needs some cholesterol. It needs some energy substrate, so that protein that can go more towards an anabolic process. So I try to take some eggs with that as well.
What about pre-workout, post-workout, Josh?
Here we go again. About a half hour before the workout, always 2 eggs, and as soon as the workout commences, 2 more eggs.
Oh, as soon as it commences. So you actually bring a couple eggs with you to the gym?
I own a gym, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm stealing several.
So you get to use the fridge if you want to.
That's an interesting point. We don't refrigerate eggs.
Yeah, I know. When you get them fresh from the farmer, you don't have to refrigerate them. But once they've been refrigerated, you should continue to refrigerate them, is what my farmer has told me.
The few times when I'm on the road and I have to buy them from the grocery store, I just buy them refrigerated. I set them on the counter. I've never had a problem. I don't know what happens there, but I've never had a problem leaving them out.
Well, my farmer also told me something else about eggs. When you get fresh eggs from the hen, you should never wash them because they actually have a membrane on the outside of the egg that keeps the egg from rotting. Once you wash the egg, you rinse that off, and then the porousness of the calcium shell actually starts to transfer air back and forth from inside the shell to the outside of the shell, and that is when eggs can start to rot. Did you ever hear that, Randy?
Yeah, the farmers are sometimes careful how they clean them because the consumer still doesn't want hen shit on there either, right? It stinks, so they clean that off. But you're right. The shell is a protective barrier, and you do have to be careful with it.
Yeah,
I've eaten those shells, Carl.
Yeah, I know they're a good source of calcium from time to time.
Poop and all.
Yeah, poop and all. Okay. All right. So, what about your carbohydrate sources, Josh? What are you using for carbohydrates?
Well, I get a good bit from the milk. I'm sure. I don't know exactly how much I get there. I get a good bit from the raw honey that I eat with a lot of my meals, and I eat berries. And some meals, both Randy and I have been experimenting with some kind of cyclic diet, carb loads. So occasionally I'll do some, if I want to get a lot of carb in there, banana and orange. And, sometimes I splurge and eat some grains, but I never feel real good after doing that.
What about, what about green vegetables, cruciferous stuff, broccoli, that sort of thing?
I never eat them whole raw. I eat them as a green juice, and I do that with eggs as well.
Why not? Why not eat them whole raw?
I don't digest them. I don't know that anybody digests them very well.
When they're raw?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you eat any vegetables at all?
Occasionally. I like to chew on like a raw pepper or something in between meals.
Like a red pepper? A red pepper?
I like that. Yeah.
I love them. They're fantastic. Cut them in slices. Yeah. They make great snack food. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're really not focused on your carbohydrate intake because you're getting a lot of it from the milk, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I get plenty of energy in there from fat. I think you convert over to a fat type pyruvate metabolism to some extent, but I don't necessarily focus on a high fat or a high carb diet. It just kind of comes in there. It'll be an interesting study to see what I have to do to get ultra lean in bodybuilding condition. But for normal walking down the street looking good purposes, I don't restrict carb or fat or try to push either.
Now, what about fat? What about fat? Do you focus on any specific fats? Do you eat a lot of coconut oil, that sort of thing?
Not a lot. Occasionally, I'll eat a coconut or chew on the meat. You get so much fat from the egg, dairy, cream. We eat a lot of raw butter. Fat's not missing in the
diet. I eat butter out of the tub with a spoon.
Yeah,
I really do. I love it, I've been drinking 3 quarts of raw cream a week as of late, and they actually go in the first 3 days. I drink a quart a day, and then I go, gee, I wish I would have bought 5. But Randy, let me go back to you for a second. For those who never heard the original shows we did back in the day on raw food, some of the fathers of physical culture, including guys like Jack LaLanne, they were huge proponents of raw food. Vince Gironda was known as that crazy guy who fed all his bodybuilders raw cream and raw milk, right?
Yeah, Gironda was big on steak tartare, and he wasn't. He didn't go to raw eggs later until later in the 70s or 80s. It was Blair who was doing a lot of raw eggs, raw cream from the 50s. But even before Blair, George Hackenschmidt, before he became a vegetarian, was doing raw dairy and promoted that most of the diet should be eating raw, because he said that's how we came into this world. We didn't come into the world with a skillet and frying pan and spatula, right? So that was his philosophy. And when he wrote his book, I think it's called My Way, that was about 100 years ago. But there's always been some aspect of raw food eaten. But Armand Tanney was the first big name, big bodybuilder, and who ate raw meat. because of what he viewed in Hawaii in 1947 with the Samoans.
What were the Samoans doing?
They were eating raw meats, raw beetles, you know, insects,
grubs,
fruits.
Yeah.
They were so healthy and strong that when he came home, he
as
said,
opposed to now when the poor Samoans, now when they eat the Western diet, they all develop type 2 diabetes almost instantly.
Yeah, they can get them off of it almost instantly when they put them back on
the
indigenous diet. I know. It's crazy.
I mean, you know what it comes down to? If you get fat, like really fat really fast and develop diabetes really fast eating the traditional American diet, it's because your body is superior and it runs so efficiently and it's not designed to eat this crap processed high carbohydrate, high grain, high corn stuff that they eat here.
So, yeah, their physiologies aren't adapted for it at all.
Right. So he watched the Samoans and he said, "Oh, I'm going to start eating raw meat."
Yeah, he threw away. He said, he "shut off his stove." Actually, he had read Weston Price's book, "Nutrition and Physical Degeneration," and he was one of the top bodybuilders of that time. And Gramek had just, I think, retired, but he won the Pro Mr. USA and the Pro Mr. America. The Pro Mr. USA at that time was the equivalent of the Olympia at that time in 1949-50. And our man wrote for Joe for decades after that. He just died about a year and a half ago at 90 years of age. Oh. But it was Blair who really pushed the raw dairy with his protein powder. I think that was more the key to it than his actual protein powder. But raw milk, raw eggs, raw dairy, he lived off a lot of that, his powders. But, I mean, again, he wanted people mixing it with raw cream and raw milk. And then Vince was big on the raw meat. Vince was well-read on Viljamar Stefansson, Robert McCarrison, and Weston Price. You know, these guys, you know, back then they didn't have the Internet. They just had their libraries. Yet, Geronda, we're talking about the late 40s and 1950s here and then the 60s that these guys were getting this information and studying this and applying it to bodybuilding. So, you know, I tip my hat to them. And they learned a lot. They learned how to build a lot of muscle for natural. And you saw, again, the way they ate back then and compared to today, there's a lot of fear today about from what happened.
Well, we're gonna talk about that in a minute. Wasn't it Armand Tanny and Jack Lane that used to go to the stockyards and buy the raw the blood from the stockyards?
Jack Lane and Russ Warner. Now, Boyer Coe told an interesting story with Jack Lane saying he doesn't like all the steroids going on, and this is back in the early 80s, and like Boyer was a bodybuilder at the time, Boyer's open that he took steroids, and Boyer said to him, would you not do anything for an edge, Jack? Did you ever, back in your day, do anything that you thought would give you an edge? And Jack, you know, just kind of smiled and said, yeah, Russ did go to the stockyards to drink the blood. And he stopped drinking the blood when he swallowed what he thought was a clot.
That's
so
gross.
Like the Maasai used to drink, well, I don't know if they still do or not, if there's anything left of them. They drank blood, but it was from living cows.
Yeah.
They put a shunt in the neck,
yeah,
and they would get some blood and stuff like that. But so Jack was showing, they would do some crazy stuff too,
right,
back at that time. But it was Russ Warner and Jack Lane.
Now, Josh, when you and I first talked about your introduction to eating raw and building muscle, you were not necessarily buying grass-fed and or even organic. You would buy what you could get your hands on because your attitude was, look, raw is better than cooked, and if I can get grass-fed, that's even better, but sometimes I can't. And because of it, are you still doing that? Are you still buying conventionally grown beef and eating that as well?
Only on the road. I've rectified my meat supply problem, but given the opportunity to eat, you know, cooked or raw, I'm going to buy whatever to get the raw beef. I've never had a problem with it.
Now, do you have a relationship with a farmer now that you're buying all your raw beef from?
Yeah, in Ohio we have a lot of Amish and Mennonite farmers, and it's not hard to find.
Yeah, that's my guy. He's a Mennonite also. Wonderful people. Hardest working people I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
What would you recommend to people who want to start eating raw meat? Would you say take a chance and buy something at your grocery store, or would you say do not do it unless you know where you're getting the meat from?
I think your confidence can always be higher when you know your source. We have so many. I think most major cities have a Whole Foods now, and I strongly recommend that you get some grass-fed meat from Whole Foods and go from there. Tuna is easy to start with, but you have to add some fat. Raw red meat is easy to start with, and as you get more confident, you can move into the other meats.
Yeah, Okay.
We'll have some recipes that are easy to put together on that website also. There's some basic stuff that just makes it a little bit more powerful. I remember my first meal. I got it from Doc Ron. I didn't learn about raw foods from Ajahn Svanda plants, which most people have. It's from Dr. Ron Schmidt. And I sat down and I mixed this concoction of eggs, cream, all this ground beef. I almost puked. You know, I thought, oh, man, I can't do this. You know, I just made one little change from one day to the next and I started laughing. I thought, no, it's still nothing great, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was the day before. And if I can adapt that fast in 24 hours, we can do anything, right? We can eat anything.
Yeah. I remember the story that Ajahn has told on my show back in 2006 when I had him on. About the woman who was on death's row. She was on death's bed, I'm sorry. And they told her that she would be dead in a week. And she was trying everything she could, and somehow she found out about Ajahnus, and she said that she was so weak she couldn't get out of bed. They had to hold the phone to her ear while she spoke to him. She said, "What should I do? I don't want to die." He said, "Start eating a raw egg every hour." And so the next day he gets a call from this slightly more robust voice saying, "Okay, I did that. Now what do I do?" In other words, she made it through the night. They said she would be dead that night, and she made it through the night. And she continued to live on after that. She switched to raw foods, and she lived on. Now, there are people that'll say, "Oh, well, you know, that's one story." But nonetheless, it makes you think, you know. It really
does.
Yeah,
the dynamics of life and death are not real simple. You know, there's a lot involved. And like, you know, a lot of people die in our culture from disease. Some people who are eating really well still die. Like, I mean, it's hard to explain. It's sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So, in summary, people need to go to the website if they want to learn more. You guys have set up a website. This website obviously resulted in the fact that, Randy, from the shows that you've done here talking about raw food, you've been bombarded with people contacting you, asking you, "What do I do?" Right?
Well, they contact me. They contact Josh, too. Josh actually passes a lot off to me because he's so busy. Like, I have nothing to do either, but I appreciate it. I like doing it, right? So we're actually going to do a DVD that we're going to put on the website where we're going to spend a couple hours and go through a lot and some more details and stuff like that. And Josh eventually put some of his picks on. We'll see how he does if he decides to go in and compete next year. It'll be very interesting. See, most of our viewers or listeners or people, they're not competitive, right? So we want to emphasize that the bulk of what we do is how to build muscle and be healthy looking. You can look great. Think of a 1960s bodybuilder. You still had abs and everything. No, you didn't have striated glutes, but that's not healthy, right? Josh is going to still try to see as healthy as he can do it to compete. But most of the stuff that we do is to how to build muscle, be fairly lean, but still healthy and hydrated, right? So that's the crux of it.
Which leads me to this last question, and then we'll end the show with this. And I do want to talk about Josh's new company also real quick. But, Josh, you've gotten ready for competitions before, and you've been bodybuilding for how many years now?
1993 was the first show, so it almost took 18 years.
Okay. Do you notice anything different about the way you feel now that you're eating raw? I mean, obviously we're focused on the aesthetics and those effects of putting on muscle. Do you feel better? Are you stronger? Do you notice anything different as far as health goes and recovery goes?
I have a couple of really interesting things. One, I don't know if it's just maturity, but I keep getting stronger. I mean, 40 is way better than 35 and crushes 30. So I don't know if that's everybody or just me, but it keeps getting better.
Right.
The reason that I was so motivated to switch is I had some real serious health problems from however many years of bodybuilding before. I developed food allergies to almost every bodybuilding staple. There's no way you could feed me oatmeal or grains or even potatoes. I started to develop a resistance to.
So when you say resistance, what do you mean? What happened to you?
Eat it and just pretty much bogged down, no digestion, gas, flatulence, poor bowel movements, everything went. I was contemplating leaving bodybuilding because I couldn't use the diet anymore. So this was kind of forced upon me. The timing was good because I was done with it. It wasn't working anymore, the conventional paradigm.
And now you feel better.
I feel great, yeah.
You should see the weights he can lift, Carl. He's on a strong. He probably make a claim he's probably one of the strongest natural bodybuilders out there.
I don't know. Lane Norton is pretty strong. I think he has a 600 and something pound deadlift. How's your deadlift?
You know, I haven't done it with a barbell in years. Somebody asked me on a website if they thought I could match that, and I wouldn't be surprised if with a little bit of practice I could match the 700 mark.
What are you squatting right now?
No, I'll tell you more about the business later, but I mean, I only work out on machines, although occasionally I get pushed because people say, well, you're not really strong, you just use those machines. I jumped cold into a squat rack this winter and did 500 for six with no problem.
Really?
Just the first try. I worked up to it and I did it. It was no issue whatsoever. So
he was playing around with 120-pound dumbbells for incline dumbbell presses up here.
I did. My brother challenged me. He lifts free weights. He challenged me to incline dumbbell press with 120s with no practice going in. I did 21 reps with the 120s.
That's impressive. Very impressive. So you definitely feel like you are stronger since you've been eating this way.
Oh, there's no question. The more body weight helps. But the other thing is the way that I deposit fat is different. Before, with the bodybuilding, like I said, I have a small frame, and it was all or none. If I was overweight, I wouldn't take my shirt off if I was off-season. And I looked fabulous when I was in prime condition, but now I seem to hold the fat not so subcutaneous, but maybe it's more like intramuscular because I don't look sloppy fat. I blow up. I look evenly distributed, abdominal still showing and full. I'm not embarrassed to have my shirt off season like I was before, and I'm some 30, 40 pounds heavier.
Randy, you think anybody will ever in the science community go, you know, we really need to look at this raw food thing that everybody's, because the raw food community is growing every day. I mean, from when you and I first started doing shows and it was obscure, people would email me and go, was he really talking about eating raw chicken? And now there's a lot of people that are eating raw foods. Do you think that science will ever go, you know, we better start doing some research on this raw food thing because it's growing and there may be some good things about it?
The fact that science hasn't done any research on it today speaks volumes as to who's controlling it. It's ridiculous that, like I said, you look at our internal environment, what we're learning, Europe is a little more open to it. They're open to pleomorphism, that's the morphing of microorganisms within the body. And the fact that they're finding out now that the stomach flora is so highly connected to the brain. Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride's book, Gut and Psychology, other people are writing stuff about the second brain. It was even mentioned that we are potentially standing there looking at any person. He is one, genetically, he's 1% human. He's 99% bacteria. Like our genome has something like 30,000 genes, just like that nature, where there's 3 million bacterial genes. So look at what's going on in us with all that bacteria and that flora and that interaction. Yet we ignore it. We just tell people, germs are going to kill you. Germs are going to kill you. So is science going to look serious at this? Not under the current paradigm, not under the money control and the pharmaceutical control, because for you to be serious and look at this, the pharmaceuticals are in big trouble. Because number one, we're saying, why are we putting the medical field putting all these antibiotics and killing the stomach flora, which that's all connected with raw food eating. That's the whole difference between, again, eating cooked and eating raw, how it interacts with our internal environment and the microorganisms that are a big part of our digestion and our immune system and the communication with our brain. And in the developmental stages, we don't know nothing. Bad English there.
That's okay. No,
you know what I mean? Sometimes I look at us and do we really know what we're doing down here?
Yeah.
And we're guessing on so many things. Or is it on purpose or what? But why are we so far behind in this area, in that area? And you look at follow the money. Just follow the money.
Yeah. Josh, real quick. Tell me about your business. You are now in the business of building exercise equipment. Is that not right?
Yes, sir. I think there's tremendous advancements that we have kind of gleaned from Nautilus and other equipment manufacturers. And for me, whether it's diet or exercise, I'm just looking for the shortest distance between two points. I want the most efficient, effective, safe, and as far as I'm concerned, easiest way for me to get from A to B. So we have a company called Renaissance Exercise. You can see it at www.renaissanceexercise.com. And we're offering an equipment line that we think trumps what's currently on the market. And there's a system that goes along with the line. In other words, the tool is only as good as the user and the user's education. So there's philosophy, protocol, education, and manual that go along with this equipment line. And I encourage people to check it out.
Is there any Randy? You've been a big proponent of what is it? Med something? What is the?
Medex.
Medex. Is there? Have you guys used any of what you know about Medex to build this new stuff?
Oh, Josh can answer that better.
Medex was state of the art in the mid 80s, and I think as far as precision exercise equipment, they were the king of things up through the 90s, and you know that was Arthur Jones' company. He went from Nautilus and improved on that, and went to Med-X, and we're just taking it the next step further. So
really,
in line with that thinking, but we've taken some that we've learned there, and we just keep making it better.
So you guys see how meticulous these guys are with their machines, Carl. Like even Boyer Coe wants to come and see this stuff. Like they're expensive, but it's the technology and the work effort made in America. Everything that these things are beyond anything else in terms of meticulous work into its function.
So are you delivering equipment now, Josh?
Yes, sir. Yep.
So where can people go again to learn? Like if there's a gym owner out there who wants to take a look at your equipment?
I'm not quite ready to swamp the few people that have the equipment. We're going to have a release here coming up pretty quick where people can actually try. But they can see the equipment and get details at renaissanceexercise.com.
Okay. Okay. And if you want to learn more about eating raw to build muscle, go to rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. Guys, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, no problem.
Did we cover everything?
I wanted to mention on the Renaissance site two more projects I've worked really hard on, and I thought I'd get out there. If you go on the renaissanceexercise.com, we have two book releases that are really important. One is Ultimate Exercise. This is a project between us and Dr. Doug McGuff. I'm not sure if he's widely known, but in the HIIT circles, he's widely known.
I was just going to say, you're a big high-intensity guy, right?
Definitely, yeah. Absolutely.
Are you still doing that? Are you still training that way?
Yeah, I train twice a week.
Slow, super slow stuff?
Evolved. It looks pretty darn slow what we're doing, but the equipment facilitates that. We actually push quite hard and fast. It just happens to go slow.
Okay, gotcha.
But we're working on a project with Doug McGuff. I think the book's 14 years old, but we're bringing it back new. It's the re-release of Ultimate Exercise, which has been a roadmap for a big part of the HIIT community and Renaissance Exercise. We're bringing the book out, and we're updating, having conversation about what's come forward since the book was first released. That will be on our website. And then we're releasing a pre-order button for the Renaissance Exercise Technical Manual that will be available July 1st. And as far as the raw food site, I'd like everyone to opt in there, because if you opt in on the site, we'll provide you with kind of an introduction video of how we can start a discussion about entering into raw food eating, and we can build on that. Randy and I will have a product out in the next couple weeks here explaining to people how to get started. I mean, the first 5-6 months of this are trial and error, and we hope to help people along to get started with raw food eating.
Sounds exciting. You know what? I guess I have to start eating raw again.
I think you said that before.
Well, I do. You know what I do? I eat raw for a while, and then the hard part for me is the socialization. It's hard to go out and eat raw. You know?
Yeah, I don't socialize, so it's easy for me. And also, too, I hope to have my second volume out this year.
Oh, yeah. Can you give any other information about the Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors book? The new one?
There's a lot on Arthur Jones in this one, more than I originally thought. It's a bigger book than the first one. It's just on the 70s. There was so much information I had to cut off at the 70s. And I like it, and I'm just writing the epilogue today, and we're going to editing and referencing. And I want it out this
When
year.
Will you know what the cover is going to look like? You gave me an idea what the cover may look like. When will you know if that's going to be it?
Hopefully next week or two. I was given permission, but I haven't received written permission to use Arnold, and I really like that cover. Joshua likes that cover. Everybody seeing it really likes the cover.
Yeah.
Now, so I don't want to have to go to Plan B. I'd be really ticked off.
Because Plan B is me, right? You're going to put me on the
board. Yeah.
I guess the third volume will bring us to current times, correct?
Yeah, it depends how deep I want to go into current times. A lot of Volume 2 is already written because it was originally part of Volume 3 of the 80s was in Volume 2. So that's written. And it's some really good stuff, the relationship between D'Amelio and Ben Weider. It's absolutely fascinating. And basically, it's going to go on to the 90s. And I'm not sure how far I'm bringing it into 2003, but I really want to go back. This second volume, there's only actually two chapters on nutrition because it was only one decade. There was a lot more in Volume 1 because I went over several decades, actually two centuries.
Right.
But only one decade, it was only two, because basically the 70s nutrition was just more akin, like I said, to the 60s than it was to the 80s. That's where dramatic change took place. And from the 80s, 90s onward, I'm going to get much more into the nutrition and the politics of it. So people have put it all together at the end to see what happened and what's going on and stuff. It'll be a pretty fascinating volume also.
So you're not going to come up to current to 2005, 2006, 2007. That's not going to happen.
Yes, but I will touch on it because I don't really think anybody really gives a crap about what's. It's really honestly, people are just losing interest in competitive. In terms of bodybuilding and in aspects of the scene, yet sure, but in terms of competitive bodybuilding, it's not in a good place right now.
I think I'll tell you something. I have to tell you what I think. I think that there is a renaissance coming. Physical culture is coming back. I mean, I talk about it all the time, and I have more and more people now using the term to describe themselves as being involved with physical culture as opposed to bodybuilding or powerlifting or any of those things.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think physical culture is going to make a resurgence, and it's going to be like, it's going to be what's the word I'm looking for? Like a consolidation and bringing us all, we're going to find out there's a lot more of us than we thought when we take all these splinter factions and bring them all into physical culture.
I like what Jeff Everson said. There really isn't nothing wrong with the word bodybuilding. Remember, bodybuilding was being used back in 1910. It's what's happened. Jeff said the body, they shouldn't call it bodybuilding. They should just call it physique with these guys because the amount of drugs everybody's taking and what they're, and contest preparation has nothing to do with health or real bodybuilding, where bodybuilding came from physical culture, right? It was just a transition of words, body, but physical culture, body culture. Duranda called it body culture. You know, it kind of went through that evolution and into the bodybuilding. But it's what's going on today, like Everson says, we should call it that. You should just call competition physique. Physique competition.
Right,
it's
right.
Not bodybuilding. So bodybuilding shouldn't. I wrote an article, I think it's on Bob Whelan's site, called "Is Bodybuilding a Dirty Word?" And it shouldn't be. It's bodybuilding's bodybuilding. What they're doing today up there is.
I've done a show. Different. I did a show about that maybe 3 years ago with Anthony Roberts, where we discussed, is it bodybuilding or is it body building. You know,
yeah.
We separate, just by separating the words, it becomes something different. There's a lot of women. Our female audience has exploded. There's a lot of women who get turned off as soon as I put the word bodybuilding, all one word, up there. They go, oh, that doesn't apply to me. They're wrong, because anytime we're talking about building the body, it applies to everybody, because if you're not building your body, you're letting it break down. And you can't let it break down. That's the greatest shot you have at longevity and living forever is to keep your body growing. If you're constantly building it, you're pushing back time. I say stronger is younger. But as soon as you put that one word, bodybuilding is one word, people go, oh, that's about these guys with these freakishly large physiques, sporting a banana hammock, standing on stage. That has nothing to do with me. It does have something to do with you, because if you want to learn how to build muscle, you have to go to somebody who does it for a living. If you want to learn how to play a piano, you go to somebody who does it for a living. You don't go to the kid next door who plays barely better than you. So don't turn your nose up on bodybuilding, but we do have to separate the words. It has to be body building, the art of building the body, not the competition that's involved with it.
Semantics, eh?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. All right, so guys, let's give the website one more time. For those of you who want to learn more about eating raw and building muscle, go to rawfoodbuildsmuscle.com. The truth is, raw food builds longevity is also a true statement. Randy, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Josh, good luck with all your ventures.
Carl, thank you.
Okay, and we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.